Well, good morning. But it's great to be here with you today. As you heard, my name is Adam. I was on staff here for a few years and a few years ago, and it's always great to be able to come back and be able to participate in the church life, but also in preaching. It's been a great opportunity of mine every time I come back here, and so I always thank Pastor Jeff and the staff for welcoming me and for you as a congregation to be so receptive of every time I come, and I really appreciate it. But I want to address some things first. I'm not wearing my jersey per se. You may not recognize this jersey. I came dressed as my favorite golfer, Kurt Portis, and so that's who I am today. I see some Habs fans in the house. I would have worn my jersey, couldn't find it, and you know, I haven't worn it yet, so I'm just kind of sticking with that trend. I'm not superstitious, just a little stitious, okay? And so I'm excited this morning to celebrate Jersey Sunday with you, but I want to address one thing that took place on May 23rd. Anybody know what May 23rd is? Some of you might be your birthday, but May 23rd was Pentecost Sunday, for those of you who aren't aware. And at about 43 minutes and 33 seconds, this is the quote that you heard. Whatever the conversation was, he, found a way to bring up that which was important to him, the Habs. This was a quote from your pastor talking about me, how all my conversations led back to the Habs. So, at about 26 minutes on June 20th, I am here saying there's plenty of reasons to talk about the Habs today. I'm just saying. It's been a great playoff series so far. If you are not a Habs fan, I wouldn't blame you if you became one now. And so it's great. I'm looking forward to tonight. Please do not disappoint at 8 o'clock tonight. But that's just, I had to get that off my chest. I had one person write me and say, did you hear what your pastor said about you? And I'm like, I knew it. It was in his heart all this time. He hasn't been able to let go of it, but it's okay. We're good. But I'm here not to talk about sports, even though we could, and I'm probably talking about it at some point during the message because that's what I do. I bring them up. But we're here to talk about talk from the Word of God, and specifically being Father's Day. And so I'm hoping that today, for those of you here and for those of you online, that this message today would be encouraging to you, and that you'd be able to leave with some. I want to say goals, but some objectives for your life personally. And hopefully, if this is your first time in a church setting or hearing a message, that you would leave maybe with some healthy questions going forward about who this God is, who this Jesus is, and how he can become a part of your life. And so that's my hope for today. But I want to read to you from John chapter 5. So if you have your Bible this morning, John chapter 5, if you're scrolling online and you're following along virtually, John chapter 5, verse 19. And I want to read a verse to you this morning that will kind of summarize the direction that I want to take today's message. Again, chapter 5 of the book of John, verse 19, and it says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Let me just say that one more time. So the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Let's just take a moment and pray this morning. God, I thank you so much for this moment, for this opportunity that we have to join together as believers and searchers. And God, I thank you that we are able to join together and hear your word and your voice that is clearly communicated through reading of the text. And so we thank you for your voice in our lives, that it's active. And I pray that today you would speak specifics to the hearts of individuals in this place and online today. God, I thank you. I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you could make a list of what a great father looks like, what would be on your list? Like if you had to write down, you know, I would say this one would be a good father, or this reason would be a good father. This is what makes a good father. You know, if you had the opportunity to sit down and give me your five reasons or five things that make a dad a great dad, or even maybe let's just say a really good dad, what would they be? I did a poll recently, and here's some of the top answers that I got back. Funny, likes sports, nice, good looking, 6'3", that's kind of specific, likes the Habs. Okay, my poll was asked to my kids, and so that's me that I'm talking about, but let's just go with that one. Those are good answers right now. But if you were to ask and survey a crowd, the truth is we would probably find a lot of the similar answers. That a lot of the answers would be repeated, that you would hear kind or generous or patient or loving. And we'd have all these different answers, but a lot would be similar once you go through the entire list. But where it becomes different is when you ask this crowd of people who gave you these different options, if you were to put it in order of priority, what would they be? And yes, some of the lists would still look the same, but for a lot of us, our priorities in order of 1 to 5, let's say, might look a little different. And the reason why it would look different is because personally, your experience or what your thought process is when it comes to a father would differ from somebody else's. Where you might have loving on yours and somebody else have loving on another one, yours might be right at the top of the list, but somebody else might be number 5. And a lot of that comes based off of your own personal experience. For some people who have felt nothing but a great relationship with their dad, a great relationship with their parents, they have these positive things and say, I would want love because that's what I experienced. And that was the best experience for me to feel that love. And for some of you, it might be spending time because that's what you had with your father or with your parent. But for some, you might have love or spending time at the top of your list because it's what you lacked in your life. That you so desired to spend time, you so desired to feel love and you wanted that. Or maybe for some of you, you would want honesty because you felt like maybe somewhere along the road in your relationship with your parent, there was lacking that honesty and that's what you missed. And so our answers are different because our experiences are different when it comes to our father or with our parent. But if there's one thing that we can agree on, even though the lists might be different, even though the priorities might be different, if there's one thing that we can all agree on, is that each and every one of us desperately needs a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father. If there's one thing that across the board we all need, it's that healthy relationship that is found in a very, very good father, great father even, that we find in our Heavenly Father. And not for you, but for those who don't even know him yet, there is a need for a relationship with that father because that father is an incredible father who so desires a relationship with you. And so over the next few moments that we have today with each other, I wanted to talk about what makes God a great father. And I know that there are many things that we would find in scripture that would talk about how good of a father he is and characteristics as to why he is a good father. But if you'll allow me to take just 3 today and explain these 3 as to why I think they're important and why I believe that these 3 things make him a great father. And I hope they resonate with you and maybe they find somewhere on your list of characteristics of what makes God a great father. But here we go. And the first one is this, is that he loves us. I think if we could just say that one and stop there, it would be complete because he loves us. Scripture says in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. One of the most incredible verses that you can communicate one verse to anybody, John 3:16 would be that verse, that they are so loved that he was willing to send his one and only son to die on a cross for them. His love for us is so great. His love for us is so deep. His love for us is so wide. His love for us is what makes him a great father. We see that in that scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There was a sacrifice that took place. His love is great because, or his love for us is true. His love for us is great, but it's sacrificial. He sacrificed so that you could receive life. He sacrificed so that you could receive the joy and the peace and the life that you're able to live in that relationship with him. His love is sacrificial. And I'm going to be honest with you, this past year as a dad has not been easy. You're going to hear over these next few moments some areas where maybe my parenting skills were not at its highest, but can you blame me? I've been stuck in that house for a year with my kids, okay? I'm just being honest with you. Like, shouldn't you love your kids? I do. Just would love to be outside away from them sometimes. Thank you. And I think about there's moments where, sure, I want to give good things to my kids, and I love my kids. And if you're new and you have no clue, I have 4 of them. Because I thought, hey, why not have a bunch of kids to occupy my life? And if I'm being honest, when it comes to the sacrificial part, I think I'm pretty good at it. Like I'm around. I'm a part of their life. I help out with different things. But also the sacrificial side of things depends on what I have to sacrifice. Dad, let's play cards. Sure. But can you wait? The Habs are about to eliminate the Leafs. And as much as I want to play cards, I just really want to know that Pastor Jeff is suffering right now. Because his Leafs are losing. And so the sacrifice side, I do love my kid, but the sacrifice side, sometimes it really does matter what it is that I have to sacrifice. Dad, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Sure, no problem. Could you just give me a few moments? The sacrifice that we are asked to make at times as parents is difficult because there's some things that we are genuinely passionate about, genuinely care about, but our kids so desperately want that attention, so want that love, so want that time, and they're just asking for a moment for you to sacrifice. Again, I haven't been perfect. There's been areas where I'm sure I could do better as a dad. But it does matter sometimes in my mind where, you know, I think about it after and I'm like, I probably could have just not watched the game. Or I could just tape it and watch it anyways after and not know anything, that they wouldn't know any different. Like, Dad, you sacrificed so much. I know, I gave up hockey for you. But here's the great thing about God and Him being this great loving Father is that He was not worried about the sacrifice. What He cared about was you and your soul and your future. What He cared about was your eternity. And He said, I will do whatever it takes. I will give up whatever I have to give up so that you could spend eternal life with me. I will sacrifice anything. And here's the greater part about His love. It's not conditional either. Where there's no special requirements other than you approach. Other than you show up. Nixon, my youngest, he's three, turning on minutes, and he is like, he's just active. Like, everyone's like, well, you wanted a boy. I'm like, I did. I just wanted one a little bit calmer. And we were walking with my kids the other day in the field, and like, he's just randomly just does somersaults for no reason. Just gets up, walks if he never did one. He's just like, I'm just excited. I'm like, all right, this is great. And he mocks me at times. I'm like, Nixon, you better stop that. And he just looks at me. He's like, I'll do what I want. I'm like, okay, you're right. You probably will. But the thing is, I give these conditions. Hey, we can do this if you do this. We can do this as long as you are good here. You can do this. And we put these conditions at times so that they can have this moment and experience that fun and experience that joy if you do this. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, there is no condition. Just show up and He loves you. Approach Him and His arms are wide open. Scripture tells us, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that tells me? Is that, yes, He knows beginning from the end, but He gave the sacrifice and showed the love without any promise that you would say yes. Without condition, without any hint from you saying, okay, if you make the sacrifice, if you show me love first, then I'll approach. He did it in hopes that you would, believing that there was greatness for your life, and attached to Him, you would experience that greatness and that everlasting life, but there was no condition. Come with all the sin that you have, come with the lifestyle you've been living, come with the damage that's been done, come with everything that you are, and I'm gonna welcome you. Why? Because my love for you is great. He loves. It's what makes Him a great Father. It's without condition, and it's with plenty of sacrifice on His part. All we have to do is say yes, and we gain everything. All He had to do was sacrifice His one and only Son so that you could have everything. He's a great Father. So one of my reasons as to why He's a great Father is that He loves, and He loves so well. The second reason would be that He's patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. I see all through Scripture that God, patient God. And yes, there are moments where we see that He acts on behalf of certain situations, allows certain things to take place, but He is a patient God, and His patience is motivated by His love. His patience for us is motivated by His love for us. He didn't just send His Son to die on a cross and then all of a sudden run out of time for you and say, well, you know what, they're not getting it together. No, he gave that sacrifice while you were still sinners and said, I embrace you before you embraced me back, and I am patient for you. Again, for those of you with young kids at home, this past year has probably been difficult. For anybody who already homeschools their kid, you're probably looking at those who've had to do virtual school and you're like, what are you complaining about? This has been easy for our whole life. And I'm like, I can't handle virtual school. Trying to help my kid understand French and while trying to do work and making sure that the three-year-old isn't doing somersaults off the roof and you know, just trying to make sure that life is not too chaotic and we're getting through this, but virtual school has been torture, and so some days my patience is a little bit lower than it should be. And just that one sound or that one moment of one kid screaming or that one kid saying something to their sibling or there's just that one moment that happens where you just kind of lose it. You're like, okay, that's it. All devices in the garbage, but not the real garbage because we paid for them. We don't want you to lose the money on that one, but put them in the garbage. You cannot use them for a whole year. Dad, we need them for school. Forget school. We're dropping out. And when you're impatient, you make a lot of crazy statements. And you quickly go back and say, okay, I didn't mean the whole year. Like a year is like a day. And so we're good, right? But patience, it's not there sometimes. Patience has been tested. I know scripture tells us that we should count it all as joy. I can tell you that my first thing to count was not joy. Oftentimes, the first thing on my list was run away. Count it all as a running opportunity, Adam. That's what I did at times when I was frustrated because patience ran thin. But I'm so, so happy that my God is a patient God. You know how many times I've messed up? You know how many times I've failed as a follower of Jesus Christ? You know how many times I've messed up as a friend, as a family member? I've messed up so many times in my life, but I'm so thankful that I have a God who is patient with me. Scripture tells us that where sin increases, grace increases all the more. Why? That's God showing his patience towards us. I know you haven't all, you got it all figured out yet, but I believe in you, and I know that you can do it. I know that you'll figure it out at some point. If you just draw close to me, if you just come next to me, I understand that it's tough. I understand the struggle. I understand you're going through something right now, but I'm giving you grace, and I'm giving you grace, and I'm giving you grace. Why? Because he is a patient and loving God. He is a patient and loving Father who allows room for error. Not so that we can go and choose to error, but so that when we do error, there is patience for us. He doesn't pack up and say, okay, find a new relationship. No, he says, I'm still here. I've actually gotten closer in this season. He is a patient God. He is a patient dad. Scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count as slowness, but he is patient. He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. His return is not slow as the way we understand slow, but it's patient because he knows that his love that motivates patience is so great that when you get a hold of his love, when you experience his love, your life will be forever changed. And that patience and that motivation, that love that I've experienced, I can't help but show it to friends. I can't help for them to experience it because I know that he has a better plan for their life. He's got a better plan for my life. He's got a better plan for your life. And even though you don't have it all figured out yet, he is a patient God. Yes, he wants you to grow. Yes, he wants you to mature. Yes, he wants you to stop doing the things you shouldn't be doing. But he is a patient God who loves you and wants everybody to experience his love because he wants nobody to experience lifetime apart from him. He is a patient father. His love is so great. Again, his patience is motivated by love. And his love allows us time. Again, please hear me. I'm not saying that for you here, for you online, that his patience allows us to go and act out on purpose, opposite to what he would want for us to live like. He makes room for our mistakes. And his love does not change. His love motivates his patience. And the third thing is this, he is approachable. Now, when it comes to parents, oftentimes, I'll say me, I won't generalize anybody else. This is just me. Am I approachable? Well, it depends on the scenario. It depends on the factors. You know, is everything okay? Like, how much sleep did I get? Did I get enough sleep? Because if I didn't get enough sleep, there's a good chance I may not be too approachable right away. I may need a nap or 10 first. Give me some time. Is my favorite team winning or losing? That will play a part sometimes. I know, judge me. Adam, you love sports way too much. I know. I live my life through what they accomplish. That's what I had to do. It's not very true. I love my Lord. Is there too much sun outside? I'm not a fan of the heat. Bring on fall already, please. I would much love that. But when it's just too hot and you're sitting there watching your kids at the park, you're like, I'm melting, and all they do is run around on the same slide over and over and over again. Dad, can we do this? Please don't talk to me right now. I'm melting. Don't you know what I'm suffering through with the sun? Being honest with you, I'm being transparent. So if you're going to leave here, notes taken. Pastor Adam, not a good dad. Okay, we can go with it, all right? Is there too much rain outside, right? Because then you're stuck inside and you can't be inside this whole time with four kids running around. So like, am I approachable? A lot of the circumstances that matter. Am I going to the beach today? That will dictate, am I going to be, you know, miserable or not? And I'm just being honest, sometimes the beach is not my favorite place because, you know, one, I don't want to take my shirt off. I don't want to get a sunburn. I don't want anybody to look at me like, whoa, he's really in good shape. I don't want all that to happen while I'm at the beach. The fact that you're laughing concerns me that you think he's not in good shape. He's a shape. And so appreciate that. But a lot of those factors determine if I am approachable. My dad, who last year I found out he passed away, my time with him in my life, I remember he was not always the most approachable person. There were select few people that could approach him. And there was no specific reason as to why he wasn't approachable. He was just an unhappy person on a regular basis. And I'll never forget, there was this one person at our church, the happiest person I had ever met in my life, always had a smile. He's like your perfect usher. Like, he was just amazing to greet people at the door. Hey, how's it going? I'd see him all often. And I kid you not, and please, I'm not here to put down my dad. I'm just sharing a story of what took place. And this is my dad with a lot of people. And my dad was leaning on the railing at the mall. And he came up, hey, Mike, how you doing? And my dad did this. He just turned his back, not approachable. Even as for me as a kid, hey, Dad, can I get some food? You already had food yesterday. Yeah, you're right. Let me not ask you again. I apologize. Approachable. It's nice when somebody is approachable. And the great thing about our Father is He is such an approachable God. His arms are wide open, welcoming you. Scripture says to us, it says that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, draw near with confidence. Draw near with confidence. Again, perfection is not what you need. All you need to do is walk towards Him with confidence. Why? He created an opportunity for you to draw close to Him. His Son went to a cross so that you could have access to Him with the greatest of problems, with the smallest of problems, with the greatest of moments, to the smallest of good moments. You can approach Him. Why? Because He is a God who loves to spend time with His kids, who loves to be around His kids. He says, approach me whenever you want and approach me with confidence. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be nervous. I love you. I am patient with you. You can approach me at any time, with anything, with any circumstance. I am a God who is approachable. He tells us to approach Him with confidence. Draw near to me with confidence. He says to us, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Come to me. Come and spend time with me, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the issue. Come to me. His door is never closed. He has never turned off the signal. He is always willing, waiting, and welcoming you into His presence. He sent His Son so you would have access at any time with any reason. He is a great Father who loves so well. He is a great Father who is patient with us. He's an incredible Father who is approachable, and you can go to Him with anything. There is no shame when we enter into His presence. There is nothing that would prevent us from having access to Him. No matter how far you run, no matter what the things you do, no matter what baggage you bring to the table, to Him, all He wants you to do is to approach Him, because He is a God who is approachable. Today, what I wanted to do when talking about Father's Day, or this whole idea of showing who God is, oftentimes our message might be, here's what a good parent looks like, and so go be a good parent. Oftentimes, it's here's what the characteristics of a healthy relationship looks like with your kids. Go and have that healthy relationship with your kids. But Jesus says something so profound that I think that we should explore it just for a moment. And there was this moment where he is doing what Jesus did. He's just ministering to people and he's spending time with people, but he's making claims about being with God and being from God and having this conversation, basically in the eyes of the religious leaders, elevating himself as God. And so Jesus begins to answer the question in chapter 5, verse 19. He says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'" And as I read that scripture and as I prayed and prepared for today, I began to think about that our goal in life, oftentimes I want to be Christ-like. Well, my hope is that I could be just like Jesus. My hope is that I could be just like Jesus who did this and he did that and he lived this way and I want to live like Jesus lived. But Jesus tells us that what he did was he patterned his life after what he saw the Father doing. He took the characteristics of the Father and put them into how he lived his life. Why? Because his role was to then reveal the Father. And so my hope today for you and my hope today for me is not that we would just try and be good parents, but in fact, what I would love for us to do is to reveal the greatest Father of all in how you live your life. How you live out your day-to-day to be Christ-like is essentially to be like the Father, because Jesus did as the Father did. And we see when Jesus was a young boy, they said, "Why were you looking for me? Don't you know I'm about my Father's business, or I'm supposed to be in my Father's house?" Basically saying, look, I'm here to do the work of the Father. And your role and my role, if we can summarize it very quickly, is to know God and to make him known. It's to be aware of his love for you, to know that he is patient with you, and to be aware that he is approachable for you, that you can access him at any time. Because his love for you gave sacrificially so that you could have that relationship with him. And his patience allows you to bring whatever mistakes, whatever errors, whatever things that you may have done wrong or right, and bring it before him. Why? Because he is a God who is patient and allows room for your mistakes. But even greater than that, he allows you to approach him with any type of circumstance, any type of conversation. It's the God that we serve. And so we can know him by being aware of what he's like, and we can feel comfortable approaching him because he invites us. But we are also called to make him known. And I think that for us as the church, it's very important for us to become people who know how to love properly, to love others properly. And that might look different in your context, but sometimes it's going to require that you give a little bit more of yourself to love somebody properly. And when I say this, I'm talking about those who don't know him. For them to be able to see the Father, to be exposed to the Father, to experience his love, it's going to require for some of us to give a little bit more love. Not because we want you to be this great parent or father, but because we want him to be revealed. And his love was sacrificial. His love didn't require you to get all these things in order. It's also going to mean that you're going to have to be patient, because there are people that you're going to try and minister to, that you're going to try and share the gospel with, and you're going to try and model who the Father is and be Christ-like to the people, and they may not say yes for years. And they're going to make some mistakes along the way that you're like, "Oh, why are you doing this?" Be patient. Be patient with their mistakes. Be patient with their errors. Nobody wants to see their friends go through those things. Nobody wants to see their loved ones that they're praying for to go and make those mistakes. But be patient, allow room, because in the end, it's about him and them, not you and them. It's about God's relationship with them. That's the purpose of this all, is to make him known so that they could discover themselves that he loves them. They can discover themselves that he is patient. And they can discover themselves that he is approachable. And the first time they approach him, they're going to come with a whole bunch of baggage. That's going to require you being patient. And it might not look the way you want it to look. It may not sound the way you want it to sound. And they may come to church once, and you think, hey, you've been here once, now change your life in Jesus' name. But our job is to be patient and walk with them by showing that love, allowing room for error. Because there was a point when you and I, we were not perfect. And just so we're clear, that's still today. We're not perfect. We still make mistakes. And God is patient with you and allows room for error. So as somebody is discovering the love of God, allow room for error. Sure, encourage. Sure, teach. Sure, correct where correction is needed. But allow room. Because he keeps saying, hey, where sin increases, grace increases even more. Allow for it. Be approachable. Would you allow your life to be one that is approachable by those who don't know him? Would you allow those who don't know him to approach you who does know him? Would you not look in a way that says, hey, look, until you get things in order. I'm not saying anybody here does that, but allow yourselves to be approachable. Allow the love that you have for God to be so evident in your life that people say, hey, I don't really know everything, but I do want to talk to you about some things because I see the love, I see the patience you have. Can I learn from you? Can I walk with you? Can I hear from you? Can I know what's going on from you? And we need to be people, believers, who are approachable and allow room for those mistakes, but allow room for people to come to us and say, I've got some questions. Does your life, is your life lived in such a way that people say, I could never go and ask them anything? Or is your life one that people say, hey, I need to know and I can't not ask? Are you approachable as a follower of him? Are you somebody that somebody else can approach and ask questions of? I don't know what that looks like for you. Your context is different. I know for my context, it's one way. I'm so thankful for the people that I get a chance to minister to on a regular basis. And they come with different thoughts and different ideas of religion and different ideas of who Jesus is and what Jesus was and who God is and why God does this. And I allow room for questions. It's funny, on social media, I have a lot of friends who don't know Jesus. And I'll end with this story. And I laugh because one of my closest friends who I absolutely love, he's one of my favorite people, and we went to school together, high school, elementary school, high school. We're born the exact same day, exact same hospital, and we became friends through sports, really. Like, basketball became a thing that we were very closely connected to, and we spent a lot of time, and I spent a lot of time with his family. And he's just one of these stories, but I laugh because on social media, whenever there's a funny meme or a picture with a funny quote about Jesus and anything religious, he always attaches my name to it because he wants my reaction and my opinion and my thought behind certain things. And I have some of these friends from high school who write me private messages. They'll send me articles about stuff they see about faith and are wondering, you know, what's God doing here and what's God doing there. And my response oftentimes when I get some of these funny jokes, like there was one recently about meeting Jesus in the parking lot for a fight, and it was just how it was worded. I just didn't word it properly there. But it was just a very funny way of wording it. And he's like, really? Jesus is down to fight at 6? And so we laughed about it, and we had a good moment how church signs are sometimes pretty funny. And for him, he's comfortable enough to approach me with these types of things. Why? Because I've let him know that I've allowed room for growth. I've allowed room for error. And no matter how he may live his life, my love for him remains. Why? Because God's love for him remains. And God is patient. Sure, we've known each other for close to 40 years. It's a little bit less. It's been a long time. Well, I don't even know somebody that long. Why aren't they saved yet? I don't know. It's not my decision. But I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep being patient. I'm going to allow myself to be approachable. He could ask questions or bring funny moments into our conversation, and we could talk about life. We could walk through life together. Because my job isn't to save him. My job is to reveal the Father to him. reveal his love to him. And so my prayer and my hope for you today as we leave is that you would go out not trying to be the best parent, but instead trying to reveal the best parent, trying to reveal the greatest father, whose love is so deep, whose patience is so good, and he's so very approachable. My hope and my prayer for you today is that you would know that there was a God who is so passionately in love with you, so much so that he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins, so that you could spend eternal life with him that would begin right now. Let's just pray this morning. God, I thank you so much for this moment, this opportunity to just share your word. And I thank you for the love that you show me. God, I am so in need of your love. I'm so in need of your patience. I'm so thankful that you are a God that I can approach at any time with anything, under any circumstance. My hope and my prayer is that I live out my life, that I would do so revealing who you are to other people. That people would know your love because of how I love. That they would know your patience because of my patience. And they would know that you are an approachable God because I allow myself to be approached as well. God, I pray for every individual and every family that is represented here and online. God, I pray that they would look to reveal you in every circumstance, that they would experience your love, and they would reveal your love. They would experience your patience, and they would reveal your patience. God, that they would be able to make use of that approachable God that you are, and God, they would allow that to be their lifestyle with others as well. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the leadership team here. And God, would you have an incredible would this be an incredible Sunday that families would enjoy together? And God, we thank you for the dads, those who are dads of kids here, but also those who are dads of people who just adopted kids into their own life as just, I want to be an influence. Thank you for those individuals who have been an influence to so many people. So God, we love you. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.